You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness.
Good to see you. Welcome today. Merry Christmas to you as we kind of wrap up our series that we've been doing called The Light Before Christmas. And I tell you, my heart is full already. And it's just been a blessing to be here. And I hope that you feel the same way. And I hope that throughout this day and then tomorrow that you'll just take in God's goodness and God's light. Because light is good, isn't it? Light is good. When God spoke, the light came into existence, and God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And in that moment, God established that light was greater than the darkness. Have you ever been in a place where it's just so dark, totally dark, whether you're a cave, maybe some room that's been totally sealed off to any outside light, and you can't even see your hand in front of your face? You've been in one of those places? It's kind of a scary place to be. But it's amazing how even in the darkest of places, the smallest source of light can change everything. Now, if you're in a place of total darkness and bring in the light, it changes things. But if you're in a place of total light, you can bring in truckloads of darkness and not affect the light whatsoever. That's just how it works. It's really kind of an amazing thing. And I want you to consider this as we look at this whole idea of the light. Because since creation, light has been associated with God and his goodness. James wrote that God is the Father of lights. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect thing in this world is from God above. Unfortunately, after God created the world and Adam and Eve were in the garden, they disobeyed God. And they brought sin into the world that God had created, and sin separated them from the presence of God. That sin, separation, is still a problem today. Sin, the curse, the absence of God's presence had a terrible effect on the world that we live in. That's what brought power to the darkness. Sin caused darkness to gain popularity. Darkness became a threat to all the goodness that God intended for the world that he created. We need God's presence. We need God's light once again. We need it, the light, to be restored. But thankfully, that was God's plan. And God decided he would visit the world that he created by sending his only son into this world to save us. Say this with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We make it just too complicated. For many years, God told his prophets to tell the people I've got a plan. The Messiah is coming in order to provide hope and comfort and salvation for his people. Isaiah was one of those prophets. And he lived about 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And his message included a reference to the light. We just heard that verse read by the children. Wasn't that awesome? Let's read that one together. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. The light before Christmas that Isaiah wrote about became the light of Christmas that the angels announced to the shepherds. And that light was Jesus. Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus should always be the very centerpiece of Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
That baby Jesus was announced that night and grew up into a man. And yes, Jesus was the Son of God, but he was also a man. A man who faced every temptation known to every man. And during his ministry years, Jesus himself declared that he was the light of the world, the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus came to be that light in this dark world. Randy Adams talked to about us that last week, but I want us to hear those verses again, some of those verses again. What Jesus said about himself, he said, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. A little bit later, he said these things in John 12:46. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. John, who recorded those things in a letter that he wrote later, recorded this. He got it. This was what he heard, and this is what he wrote down. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from sins. What a tremendous promise. What a tremendous promise. So Jesus invites all those who follow him to join him in his effort to be a light in this dark world in order to do what? To give glory to God. This is what he said in Matthew about it. These are the words of Jesus. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So how do we shine like lights in this world? By displaying the very things that we've been talking about all month. It starts with, we need to hold on to hope. We live in a world that desperately needs hope. Let hope be seen in our lives as we live. The Hebrew writer wrote this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And I love this line, and we should always remember this line, for he who promised is faithful. First Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Hope. This world needs hope. We can show them hope. We need to live in peace. The world needs peace. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. They need to see peace. Colossians 3:15, Paul wrote, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful." Do people see peace in your life? We need to share joy. We need to share joy. The world needs something deeper than happiness. We need to let them see the value of having deep joy in our life and the source of joy. Nehemiah wrote that this day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. I heard a minister say one time that I've always remembered this back when I was a young college guy. He said, when Satan wants to rob you of your strength, he takes away your joy. Don't let the darkness have that victory. We need to share joy. We need to show that the world, there is more to this life, and that we can hold on to the joy because we know that the Lord is our strength. And we need to show love. The world needs to see real unconditional love. That's pretty obvious around us all over the place. And we need to model that kind of love. Jesus even said to his disciples that last night before he was crucified, he said, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." We need to show love to the world. And so my hope throughout this holiday season, as we prepare for this time to see the light before Christmas, the light of Christmas, Jesus, that we can remember that the value that comes from living the life God's way. And I tell you what, I believe if we live this way and we read these verses and we take these promises to heart, then it will be different. And you will have a confidence that you cannot even believe, a confidence to hold on to Jesus. C.S. Lewis said this way, "Don't shine so that others can see you. Shine so that through you, others might see him." So I want to wrap this all up like a nice Christmas present, which I'm sure you have all those presents wrapped, or at least you have today to wrap them. So this might be the bow on the top, the bows on the top, with three little truthful thoughts that I want you to remember as you go through this holiday season. First, we need to remember that Jesus represents God with us. God with us. Matthew 1:23, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. What does that mean? What does that look like? But God promises to be with us. That is what God's desire is. God loves us and wants to be with us, and he knows what, and because of Jesus, he knows what we deal with. The Hebrew writer says that Jesus faced every temptation that we faced, and yet he never sinned. He knows what it's like to be a human. God understands. God cares. Second, we need to understand that through Jesus, that Jesus shows us that God is for us. He is with us, that God is for us. Listen to what Paul wrote in his letter to the Roman Christians, the Christians in Rome. "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" He goes on to say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." When you live in the confidence that God is for you, it makes a difference, because your view of God really determines the size of your faith. And God, no matter what your faith is, God is faithful. Lastly, we know that God is with us. We know that God is for us. We can be assured that God is in us. God is in us. Paul wrote to the Colossians, he said, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you. That is the mystery. When Jesus died on that cross, when he took his last breath, and that temple curtain was torn from the top to the bottom, it signified that God no longer was going to be dwelling in buildings. He was chose to make his home in the hearts and the souls and the lives of those who loved him and followed him. And God promises his presence in our lives through his Holy Spirit, and the promise is for all those who put their trust in Jesus. So God is with us, God is for us, and God is in us through Jesus. God really does pursue a relationship with each and every one of us. And he wants to be with his people. And we get a little glimpse of that when John got a little bit of glimpse of heaven. He wrote those down. And he said this in Revelation 21. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. The curse will be lifted." And he goes on to say, "They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." I want you to hold on to that hope, to hold on to that promise, to that tremendous gift, the hope of abundant life, not only here on this earth, but to be with God forever in a place beyond our imagination or understanding. So can you say with me those words that David, who even lived before Jesus, had that hope, and he wrote this. Let's say this. If you can say this with me, say this together. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We're going to have a time that you can just reflect and pray. We call it communion. And we're going to, if you haven't picked up a communion pack, I would encourage you to get that. There's a little emblem, the emblems of the bread and the juice. And we do this each week. And that last meal before Jesus went to the cross, he asked them to do this to remember him. So as we remember everything else that we do for Christmas, let's remember Jesus. Let's take the time to thank him. To thank him for the hope we have. To thank him for the peace. To thank him for the joy. To thank him for the love. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the promise of your presence. Where two or three are gathered, there you are, and here we are, Lord, in your presence. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will move in our hearts and touch lives. Lord, there's a lot of things going on in people's lives right now, but help us right now to stop and think about you. Think about our relationship with you. Think about how that affects our relationship with others. And to know that through Jesus, that you love us dearly. And that through Jesus' sacrifice, that we have the hope of your presence in our life. Lord, help us to examine our hearts. Help us to get things in a place where we are right with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.